Today we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. I titled this sermon, Focus on Christ Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, once again, as we go into your word, we want to thank you for this opportunity. And I ask, Father, once again, that you'll empower me by your Holy Spirit to preach your word. And that also you will open up the ears of the hearers and the hearts and the eyes of those who are going to be listening to your word today and this CD. By the power of the Holy Spirit, that's the only way that we can have our eyes opened is supernaturally by you. So I ask that in Christ's name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 3. I will read the entire chapter. Then we'll come back and we're going to look at two things and break them two things down in a few categories. Focus on Christ Jesus. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ, in verse 6 says, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are if we hold fast to confidence and rejoicing of hope firm to the end. That's going to be the number one, is a consideration. Verses 1 through 6, we'll come back and look at it later. Now let's look at verse 7 through 19. It says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in a rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Verse 12, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hard-hearted due to the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he not swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? Verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. You might want to highlight that in your Bible, underline it. So we see that they could not enter in because of what? Unbelief. So we're going to look at two things and some categories in each thing. Number one, the consideration. Hebrews 3, 1 through 6. Let me read that to you once again. The text states, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ as Son over His own house, whose house we are if we hold fast to confidence and the rejoicing of the home, hope firm to the end. You see, this portion of chapter 3 is a reminder to the holy brethren, believers, not to lose focus on the perfect Christ. And he said, consider this consideration. We're going to look at three of them. A, the consideration, Christ Jesus, the Apostle, the High Priest, the Son, and our hope. You see, He's crying out to them, as we do today, do not allow the traditional religious practices of the world muddy your view of who Jesus Christ is. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 5 through 10, it says, "So also Christ did not glorify Himself to become high priest, but it was He who said to Him, 'You are My Son, today I have begotten You.'" And He also says in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of the flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplications with the vehement cries and tears to Him, who was able to save Him from death, and was heard because of His godly fear. Though He was a son, yet He learned obedience by the things which He suffered. And having been perfected, He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him." So this consideration, let's focus on Christ Jesus, because He is the apostle sent from God. Apostle means sent one, right? He was sent by Almighty God. And He is the high priest. That's what we're going to look at in two texts this morning. You can write these down. We'll come back to them. John chapter 3, verses 10 through 17, and John chapter 5, verse 36 through 47. But I want to share with you this morning from J. Vernon McGee on this consideration. It says, "Consider Him." This Greek word, translated by our English word "consider," conveys the fact of faithful attention, or of giving a time, and perceiving thoroughly with the mind. It is a very significant word then, and we need to recognize that it means we are to give careful and serious and prolonged thought to this one. We need to consider Christ Jesus. Consider the apostle, it says. What does the writer mean? The Lord Jesus was an apostle in a very basic meaning of the word. "I don't think we need to read anything into this word," he says. After all, what is an apostle? An apostle is one who is sent. Jesus was sent from God to this earth. It says, consider the apostle, because he was sent from God to this world. He is a messenger. He is God's messenger. He is a revelation of God. Consider the apostle and high priest. And high priest is going in the opposite direction from an apostle. An apostle, like a prophet, came from God to man with a message. He spoke for God to man, a sent one, an apostle. However, a high priest was going on the other side of the highway, if you will, other side of the freeway, in the opposite direction. He was going from man to God. He represented man before God. You see, now Jesus is our high priest. Who is He? He is Jesus. The emphasis is upon His humanity. Again, let me remind you, he says, that there is a man in glory today, and he represents us up there. He says, I'm very happy that he is up there, because we are told that he is our advocate for us. He defends us. He is on mine and your side. He says, there are times when I feel that I am not quite making myself clear when I am talking to someone. He gives an example here. For example, some time ago I tried to explain to an audience the feeling I had when I was told I had cancer. I felt that I wasn't getting through to them, that they really didn't understand. But I had the comfort of knowing that there is somebody who understands. Jesus understands exactly how I felt. The Lord Jesus Christ understands how you also feel today. He says, my friend, we need to consider this, give serious thought to it, and our careful attention. We have an apostle who came from God, and he is our high priest, who has gone back into God's presence and is there for you and for me today. You see, when you look at it this way, This is a very wonderful verse. He is an apostle and a high priest. Let's go to John chapter 3. Verse 10 through 17. John 3, verse 10 through 17. It says, Jesus answered and said to him, Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen. And you do not receive our witness? If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. That is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. So we see this apostleship. The sent one, Jesus Christ. Go to John chapter 5. Verse 36 through 47. John 5, verse 36. But I have a greater witness than John's. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me, that you may have life. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive honor from one another, and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? You see, we have to consider, keep focused on Jesus Christ. He was the apostle, the high priest. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16, the text says, Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. I want to underline that in your Bible. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Because there is a teaching out there that says Jesus sinned. Several texts in the Bible says he was a sinless Son of God, right? Without sin. He could not be the perfect example in sacrifice if he sinned. Verse 16 in Hebrews 4. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we see that Jesus was this apostle sent one, and he is our high priest. We also see from the opening text that he was the Son. The Son. Because it says, Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who is faithful to him, who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in his house. If you go over to verse number 6 of Hebrews 3, but it says that Christ as Son over his own house, the Son, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1, we looked at verses 1 through 4. Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 4 says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, to whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself, it says, purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So we see, He's saying, consider this, that Christ Jesus was the apostle, the sent one from God. He is our high priest, and He is God's Son. And He is our hope. He is our hope. Because at the end of verse 6 of Hebrews 3, it says, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope, firm to the end. He is our hope. Over in Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 5 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. We have that hope. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, or Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. Our hope is in Christ. I'm going to read to you this morning, once again, from a commentary of John MacArthur. On this Jesus, Jesus greater than Moses, because he's presenting this to the Hebrews. It says, after having seen the exalted supremacy of Jesus, who is better than the prophets and the angels, we are now shown how He's better than Moses, the one to whom the first covenant came. Let's look at this Moses. It says, to appreciate how, why, and to what extent Jesus is better than Moses, we need to see how important Moses was before this. So we see Moses was esteemed by the Jews far above any Jew who ever lived. God had miraculously protected him as a baby and personally provided for his burial. And between those two points in his life, miracle after miracle, God performed. He was a man to whom God spoke face to face. He had seen the very glory of God, and in fact, even had this glory reflected in his own face for a brief while. This Moses. He was the one who led Israel out of Egypt. As Paul stresses in Romans 2, Jews had great confidence in the law. The Old Testament commandments and rituals were their supreme priorities. And to them, Moses and the law were synonymous. The New Testament often refers to the commands of God as in the law of Moses. Moses not only brought the Ten Commandments, but he also wrote the entire Pentateuch, which lays out the Levitical and other laws that govern everything the Jews did. Moses gave the plans for the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant. Some Jews believed also that Moses was greater than angels. You see, God spoke to the prophets in visions, but to Moses He spoke face to face. He spoke to him in the burning bush. He spoke to him out of heaven. He spoke to him on Sinai. And He wrote the commandments with the finger of fire. He was above all others God's man. That's important how this Moses was to the Jews. Yet, In this passage of Hebrews, the Holy Spirit calls on Jewish readers especially to look at Jesus, to consider Him, focus on Christ Jesus. You see, Moses was indeed great, but Jesus is far greater. Jesus is shown to be superior to Moses in office, in work, and in person. In His office, He is the apostle and high priest. We looked at the text, some of the text on that. In His work, He is a builder of the house. In His person, He is the Son. You see, in verse 1 of chapter 3 of Hebrews, once again, it says, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession." You see, the Holy Spirit was speaking directly to Christian Jews who are looking at Jesus with one eye, but glancing back to Judaism with the other. The word "therefore" always refers back to something previous. On the basis of what we just said, the writer is saying, consider Jesus. The term "consider" implies attention and continuous observation. The idea is, put your mind on Jesus and let it remain there, that you may understand who He is and what He wills. His recovery of man's lost destiny, His humbling Himself and becoming our substitute, the author of our salvation, our sanctifier, our Satan conqueror, our sympathizer, all these more than qualify Him for the most serious consideration possible. You see, Jesus is the supreme apostle, the sent one from God, and the perfect high priest. He is powerful, sympathetic, merciful, faithful, saving, reconciling, protective, helpful, brotherly. On the basis of who He is and what He has done, every person should consider Him. Every person should focus on the absolute sufficiency of Jesus and drop everything else. We have a new high priest and a new sent one from God. He is all anyone will ever need. Now that's an amazing message. So as you can see, we need to focus on Christ. Keep our eyes focused on Him. Look at the consideration. He was the apostle sent from God, our high priest, God's own Son, and He is our only hope. But then, there's a warning. Hebrews chapter 3 once again. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 19. I'll read that to you once again. The warning. The warning for faithlessness, I should say. The warning for faithlessness to the gospel. Hebrews 3, verse 7 through 19. Therefore, because you remember, we looked at therefore. What we look at therefore is verses 1 through 6, the consideration who Jesus was. So He set this up, now He says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, so He's speaking to all, today, if you'll hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. It says, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was He angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he not swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So we have here an Old Testament illustration of unbelief from the children of Israel who came out of Egypt. They failed to commit themselves to God in faith. They hardened their hearts toward God in faith. They refused to trust in God to provide for their needs in the wilderness. But this spoke to them about Psalm 95. If you turn to Psalm 95, go down to verse 7 through 11. Psalm 95, verse 7 through 11. The end of verse 7, it says, "Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me. They tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore my wrath. They shall not enter my rest." Once again, this writer says, from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible is full of warning signs from God, meant to deter men from sin and thereby keep them from His wrath. The Old Testament tells us that God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Also in the New Testament, it tells us that He does not wish for anyone to perish, that wants everyone to repent. God did not create man to be doomed to hell. And throughout His Word, He continually warns him of dangers and the penalty of sin. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 through 19 we just read, is one of these warnings. The Holy Spirit seems to be giving a supernatural push to anyone on the edge of accepting Jesus Christ. You see, many people intellectually accept the gospel. They believe its message, but they never commit themselves to the one whom that gospel proclaims. They do not repent of their sins and turn wholeheartedly to Him as Savior and Lord. It is no favor to God and no benefit to us to like, to admire, to praise His gospel without accepting it and obeying it. To know the truth and not accept it brings worse judgment than ever to the one who knew it. You see, the warning here is to those who know the gospel, who affirm its truth, but who, because of love of sin or fear of persecution or whatever it may be, have not committed themselves to the truth that they know is real. You see, the writer of Hebrews, under the Spirit's leading, has a great concern for his fellow Jews who are in this predicament. They have heard the gospel, some of them from the mouth of an apostle, but for various reasons they hold back from commitment. Some apparently have made a profession of faith or have given some statement of confidence in Christ, but were beginning to fall back. When they started getting ridiculed by their friends, they began to waver and hesitate. They were not willing to throw their whole weight on Jesus, and as a result, they became apostate, which means, knowing the truth, they willingly and intentionally turned away from it. You see, to enforce a warning, the Spirit uses the Old Testament story, very familiar to the Jews, which was Moses, had just been mentioned, and it is from the time of this great Old Testament leader that the story comes from, and we see, which goes back to Psalm 95. Because Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, It says, "We then, as workers together with Him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For He says, in acceptable time I have heard you, in the day of salvation I have helped you." The text says, "Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." So let me conclude. What is your confession? What are those of people you know and love, their confession and their lives? Do you have believers in Jesus Christ that's forgetting who Jesus really was? They're losing their focus on Christ as the apostle sent by God, the great high priest, the Son of God, and the only hope. Or do you see people, the warning goes to them for their faithlessness to the gospel of Jesus Christ? So you got, what is your confession? Belief or unbelief? You see, Jesus said in John 8, 31 and 32, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, 'If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed.'" Notice, "If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And as He says in Luke chapter 9, verse 18 through 26, "It had happened as He was alone praying that His disciples joined Him. And He asked Him, saying, 'Who do the crowds say that I am?' So they answered and said, 'John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others say that one of the old prophets has risen again.' He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Peter answered and said, 'The Christ of God.' And He strictly warned and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, 'The Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and be raised the third day.' Then He said to them all, 'And us today, if anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of Me and My words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when He comes in His glory, and his Father's, and of the holy angels." That's the cry of salvation for those who know the gospel, who heard the gospel, who believe the gospel, but has never made that commitment to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We probably know people in their lives like that. They know who Jesus is. They say He's a good man. He's done a lot of good things. But they never make that full commitment to Him as Lord and Savior. So as we close, the consideration. Don't get caught up in traditions that muddy your view of who Jesus Christ was and is. He was the apostle, the one sent from God. He is our great high priest. He is the Son of God. And He is our hope. And for those who the warning goes to, for faithlessness to the gospel, you need to commit yourself to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and ask forgiveness of your sins. Let's pray. Father, as we close this morning, once again, I want to thank You for Your word that we know that Your word will never return void. So as we read it, as we proclaim it, we know that You will supernaturally do with it what Your perfect will has. And we thank You for that. Just help us to be bold and proclaim the word. Help us to never forget who Christ is to us in our lives. Help us to be more thankful Christians. To know that we have a high priest, an advocate, who can sympathize with us. We just need to run to Him, as we sang earlier. And for those, Lord, the unbelievers, there's only two types of people in the world. There's saved people, who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. And there's lost people that have never done that. I pray, Father, that those who are going to listen to this CD that You have divinely appointed, that You will grant them salvation through Your Word, through Your Son, as they listen to Your Word. For Your glory. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.